This last few weeks we've been having some wonderful times. And this week I had to take the kitchen table out of the front here. We had kitchen table up here for 2 weeks. And we were just sharing, John and myself, on Pentecost Sunday, and then last Sunday was Trinity Sunday. So we just kind of carried that over and had some really good feedback on individuals that really got something out of it. Maybe, I dare say, a lot out of it. I don't know, but we just know that several people have said they just really loved that sharing back and forth, and we'll see what the Lord has in store for times in the future. But I want to do things different. I want to not just stand here and give a message. I want to involve the congregation. I want to involve those that are out there. And maybe one of these times we'll do a thing to where we'll have a question and answer. We'll just I shared with him about it. I said, well, maybe one of these days I'll just give them a piece of paper, or just they all have paper pretty well. It's just this week, just think about something. Then if you have a question, write it down. And then come back the following Sunday. Not that we'll know the question right then if it's asked. You know, some of you could come up with a doozy. But it would be fun to do something like that. And just kind of go through the body's questions of, hey, what about this? Or I was thinking about that. Or I was reading scriptures of this. Or whatever the case might be. So that we can kind of involve the body here. My heart's desire is to promote you higher to that of God, in that of maturity and growing and understanding more of Him. And to get more of Him, you've got to be hooked up to Him. You can't be just plugged into this pulpit here and what comes from here. It'll be a good thing, I hope and pray, that what is shared is God's Word, pulling some things out of Scriptures to get us all to think, me included. And so coming out of the last few weeks, it's been really exciting because we've been sharing a lot about the Holy Spirit, sharing a lot about God, about Jesus, you know, the Trinity. And so even this past week, and I know last week we had shared, and I had kind of infused John with this thing in Luke 1, and he shared it. And when he shared it again, and I have been thinking about it even more this week. And it's just, I guess, where my thoughts and my mind is going. So be careful. Be careful, Tim, where I'm going, okay? And I hope it will make some sense to you. But my question to you today is, have you been overshadowed by God? Have you been overshadowed by God? I hope so. If not, why haven't you? Because He has, I believe, sincerely wants to overshadow all of His people. Amen. I think the overshadowing could start with salvation, to be moved and stirred to say, my life is not pleasing to God, and I am at where I'm at, and God knows where I'm at, but I want to do something better. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, confess Him as that, repent of my sins, have them cleansed, and I want a closer relationship with God. That would be one of my first overshadowings that God spoke into my heart. And I'm sure, and I hope by those that are here today, that He's already done that. Amen. Okay? Amen. If not, we need to get salvation clear. Because without it ain't worth anything else. If you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you might as well stop at that square right there and get that figured out before you get into more of what God has for you. Because the greatest thing He has for you is salvation of eternity to spend with Him when that time comes for us on this earth to be gone. He brought us in, and He's going to take us out. Amen. But then the next thing is, as we get into that, is have I allowed Him to overshadow me in other things? And that other thing, and I hate to say thing, but I want to speak again in regards to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I would tell you at this point in time, it is vitally, vitally important to have the Holy Spirit in you if you want to make it through this life. Not through salvation and getting to eternity. Remember, you've already saved, and salvation is there, and we've got that. But to deal with this life, with these struggles, with these problems, with these situations, I need someone stronger than myself. How many out there are stronger within yourself? You're not. And if you think you are, the devil is telling you a really good lie. But you need to have more of God than just the salvation through Jesus Christ. You need more of Jesus than knowing that he's your Lord and Savior. You need the Holy Spirit. Without all three involved in your life, you're missing a third of what God has for you. I want the fullness of God. Amen. And the only way to get the fullness of God is to have God, have Jesus, and have the Holy Spirit all involved in my life at one time or another, even today. Remember how John, I think, was sharing last week about when he's meditating and he's hearing things and he's speaking and God is speaking, and then all of a sudden he goes, wait, is that you, God, or is it that Jesus talking to me? Well, wait a minute, is that Jesus, or is that the Holy Spirit now talking to me? And it's not that you got a split personality in your mind, but it's the three in one, how they will minister into you. I think with God, we have the affirming value to know in the Old Testament how he was so faithful to the children of Israel, leading them to where he wanted to get them. And it was a struggle, but you know why it was a struggle? It was a struggle because of what their part played. He would have loved to get them through the wilderness, like step one, two, three, four, you're there. It was a short journey. It didn't need to take 40 years. I mean, come on, guys. But it does take that, I guess, when people don't stay connected to God. He'd do wonderful things, they got blessed, and they would decide, let's have an idol of this, or let's go this direction, or whatever the case is. We come into the relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. His blood cleanses me of my sins. Jesus the healer. Oh, hallelujah. We see this many things of Jesus in the New Testament. And then I've received him and have him, and I wanted to follow him. I want to have my life kind of mirror him, to follow him and to replicate or represent him. Remember, we've talked in times about we are made in the image of God, all of these things. And we want to have Jesus active in our life. We want to follow him as a disciple, to become one of his and to do what he did. And then after he ascended, then we find the Holy Spirit. And I want the Holy Spirit now to lead and guide and teach me the things that I need to know. And as I look around, we all need something to know more about God. We need more truth than anything that this world could ever have, because this world has no truth. It's a fallacy that this world is built upon in man's eyes and what man says and what man tries to portray. There's fallacies even within some of our churches that don't stay true to God's word. And I'm happy to report this: God will take care of those churches. Amen. We don't need to do anything about it. All we've got to do individually and corporately here at Harvesters Church is just mind our own P's and Q's with that of God, and to think and know and do what we want to do to please him. Like Jesus said, all I say and do is to please him. That we in our actions throughout our life and our days and weeks is to honor and please him to those around us, so that we can draw them to him by way of us. And it's not always easy, is it? But it's possible. Just ask the Lord to help you. And I think that help really comes in our days and where we're at now through that of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know about you, but I get weak really fast. And there's some families in our church, many families, really. Those that are here today, there's many that aren't here. But everyone here has been weakened at one time or another within this year with things going on in their life. But here's the question again. Have you been overshadowed by God, or have you allowed him to overshadow you and then to receive what he has in that shadow? What is that series on the radio way back? Only the shadow knows. Only the shadow knows. So in Luke 1:35, before I get there, You can turn there. Just get ready. But also what I want to look at, and as we are discussing that of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have said this over and over, so for most of us, it's just a reminder of these things. But in Jesus says that I've gone to send this helper. I will give you another helper. He's going to be the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Goes on to say that he will teach you all things. He's going to bring to remembrance what? All things that I've said to you. As I read Jesus' words, even that of God's words, the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance in this little pea brain of mine. When the time is right and it needs to be remembered, he will bring back all the things that Jesus has said to me. Has Jesus spoke to me physically and personally, ear to face to face? No, but he has spoken with me by his word, amen, in the Bible. And so he is speaking to me. When we see that of the red, it's helping us to understand this is Jesus speaking now. Thank you for letting us know that as these translators and these Bibles put out there that the words of Christ are in red till I say, hey, it's important to pay attention to what? The red. But he will teach you all things. He will bring to remembrance of the things that I have said. That's Jesus, what I have said to you. We go on and we look at these things that, let's see, where was I going to go here? All those things that he's done. And he has come and he will convict the world of sin and the righteousness and of judgment. You know, he's here doing his father, the Father's business, God's business to convict. But also within that, about the Holy Spirit convicting me, not condemning me. The devil will condemn you, the world will condemn you, but the Spirit of God will convict you of the sins. He will convict you of things that you're saying or thinking or whatever the case is, because in the beginning, how I said, I want to be an example. I'm following that of Jesus, and so I need to have my act even today. Anybody here today need your act still cleaned up? Thank you for the show of hands. Amen. We're being honest. Because we still do dumb things. We still say dumb things. We still think dumb things. But when that happens and the Spirit is in you and you get an uck in your stomach, you know, and it's not because you're going to, you know, bad food or anything. It's the Spirit in you just saying, oh, that wasn't glorifying God. You shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have been, whatever the case is. And that's just convicting us, and all that is wanting to do, God just wants to get us pure and cleaner before him, because in God there is no sin. In Jesus there was no sin. The Holy Spirit is in us to convict us, to help us clean out those areas of sin. Big sins, little sins, it don't matter, guys, but to continually help us. And that's why I also love that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I love the strength. Yes, I love the joy. Yes, I love the peace. Yes, I love the comfort. But I love the convictions when the convictions come, because that's just showing me the love that he has for me. Right? He's just wanting us to be better, because he knows that we can be better. Not in ourselves, but with that of the Spirit in us, and getting us closer to God. So when we get into Luke, and this is, I again, this week just kept reading over and over. Luke 1, 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So anyway, I got to that word overshadow. So we see this. Overshadow. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Have you been overshadowed by God? No, you're not going to birth a baby. No, it's okay, guys, and gals especially. Okay? That overshadow is not necessarily saying that, yes, oh, she became pregnant. Yes, she did. An incarnate birth, you know, Jesus. But we're going to kind of follow this overshadow. And what is this overshadow, how it's used? We'll overshadow you. So what is overshadow? We'll find that the basic word of overshadow is a derivative of two different Greek words. Let's look at this first one. The first one is epi, E-P-I. It's meaning superimposing, okay? Definition, if I looked at that, I started going through looking at, what does this mean? What does that mean? Reading it out of the Greek and then going to like Webster's or dictionaries. Superimposition. Definition is to place or lay over or above something. To lay or place over or above something. Amen? And so remember about 2 weeks back when we talked about Pentecost, and I shared something that I had read something in a study that says this, that the Holy Spirit is closer to us than we are to ourselves. How can that be? Well, because the Holy Spirit is where? Is he on the outside of me? He's inside of me. So when I read this just this yesterday, I'm thinking about it, oh, yes, to place or lay over or above something. So when I receive the Holy Spirit, it's like he just comes and fills me. Now, that's part of that word of overshadow. Now, the other part of that word of overshadow comes out of another Greek word, which is skia, S-K-I-A. Let's see. It talks about the word would be that of a shade or of a shadow. So the one part of the word was superimposition, that of laying over or above something. The second part of that word is shadow or shadow or a shade. So then as we get into that one word, overshadow, it's to cast shade upon, or it's to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. If I were to look at it figuratively, what it's saying figuratively is this, to invest with preternatural influence. Here's another word. That's why I'm saying, Lord, how am I going to explain all this? What is that? How? Really? Wow. Well, so the Lord just bring me on a path for a reason. So, very interesting, Lord. So you understand. So when I'm looking at this, guys, could you imagine? I'm trying to think, how am I going to break this down? How am I going to share this without getting, like, when I start getting excited, and I know what I'm saying, but you don't understand what I'm saying, but the God in me know, and it's like, oh, it's this, it's exciting. Well, I'm glad I came today then. Well, and I didn't want it to, but once I got this thing on my computer, it's called eSword, and it's got, you know, all this stuff. It helps me break it down into this. But anyway, not that I understand the words and I can say them, but I can't do that. But I can at least say that. So we got the part of it saying, you know, to superimposition or to overshadow or to lay over something. And the second part is to shade or to shadow. And so then we look at this figuratively, to invest with preternatural influence or to overshadow. Now, the thought process here is when Mary was overshadowed, God was putting an investment into her. He was investing himself in that of a son, Jesus. And when we invest, what does invest turn out to be? Invest definition is to make use for future benefits or advantages. Woo! Whoa! Hold on! Jesus! The Spirit overshadowed Mary. Shaded, superimposed. Put himself, God as Spirit, has put himself fleshly to that of Jesus, but yet it's an investment. Oh, it's to invest is to what? For future benefits or advantages. Now, I didn't go off on that, but you can imagine the look of future benefits and advantages. The future benefit is this, salvation, number one, for all of his children. For those of us that have been born in sin, from the garden. You People get upset, but when a baby comes born, guess what? They already have a sin nature. Because this world is sin. It's not that they've sinned, but they're in this mix. And as babies live and as we grow up as adults, how many here sinned? Hello, so it's nothing new. But God invested way back with Mary, that of a son, Jesus, for the advantage of us of today. Woo! Isn't that when you start, I just hit that. Dawn, I just stopped here and I kept rereading and rereading. Oh, the power of the highest will overshadow you. That's well and good for Mary, but I have to ask this today. Has the Spirit of God overshadowed you? And what has he put in you to birth? Not a baby, but he's put something of value in you to birth for his kingdom. I wish there was more people here. I wish. But you got to go with the load that he gives you. And the load that he's given us is like, hey, you guys are getting a part of something. I hope that just ministers into your spirit tremendously today. Because it touches mine, even when I reread it and read it again. And it'll be online. We'll send it out. But, you know, so to invest. So I know what the future benefits or the advantages were that of Jesus. Because his word tells us. Read the Bible. What did Jesus do and accomplish in just 33 years? And actually, only 3 years of his life was really the powerful time, you know, of doing miraculous things. So then we look at the area of, oh, I did here. Future investment advantage equals Jesus our salvation, also what Jesus will leave for us. Oh, I forgot that part. So what did Jesus leave for us when he left? I must go so that he can come. So through this investment that Jesus or that God did through that of having Jesus born, that the investment for the advantage and for future things is this, that Jesus will leave us the Holy Spirit, who will guide us, teach us, comfort us, convict us, give us joy. Yeah. Oh, Father, gives us the strength, all of these things. So anyway, that's pretty boring. No, it's not. There's power in his word. So that's just invest. Now, get into this word. I had to reread this really slow because I want to say pre-natural or pre-whatever, but it's a preter, preternatural, preternatural. This is one, these are some meanings of that. Existing outside of nature. Which means it's not by nature's normal ways of doing things that Mary was overshadowed because she had no oneness with man. So that explains that. It's something existing outside of nature. Or the second part of a definition could be exceeding what is natural or regular. And the last definition of that, talking about preternatural, is inexplicably by ordinary means. Inexplicably by ordinary means. So now, the Lord, I don't get this. Maybe you guys do. I do. Well, I get it. Because when I get on these trails with him and I start looking up words, it's like, well, this word leads to another word, to another word, to another word that really begins to unfold or unfold this whole thing that is very simple. Yeah, Jesus came. He was born. Okay, it's simple. But you begin to get into the things of the understanding of the meanings and you begin to see God's master plan is really beyond our thought process, because it's something that is what? It's outside of nature. It's outside of man's realization of an understanding, and how can man explain it? They can't. So when they can't explain it, they explain it away. If you don't understand something, explain it away. If you don't understand something, we talked about a week or so back, the world, the people, well, they will mock it. People will mock many things of God. They will mock many things of Jesus. They will especially mock when you start talking about the Holy Spirit. So what? Let them mock. Who's got the last laugh? So now, here we go. I get my definition. I cut and paste this word and put it in there because it's better to cut and paste than trying to type it out and spell it, okay? But then, inexplicable is incapable of being explained, incapable of being interpreted, or it's incapable of are being able to be accounted for. So, overshadow. This word, overshadow. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. You begin to explode these words in these meetings, and it's very evident, right? That it's something that we can't explain, something that happened outside of the normal nature of things, and it's something that it's not normal. It's just, it did not happen normally. But it happened by God's plan. And he already had that figured out in the garden. So it wasn't like after he got through all that mess that he finally got, you know, like five books into the Bible and decided like, oh, I know what I'll do now. I'll have Jesus. I'll send my son. I'll come in flesh. I will, you know, come to Mary and have a baby. And no, he had it from the very beginning of the garden, how he was going to take care of all of this. We are just blessed to see how it's unfolded. It's like we have been so privileged to see to where we can read the past and the other past and the past of the past, talking about the Bible, okay? The New Testament, the Old Testament, the New and the Old, you know, now we get to Revelations, but all of these things developing, and it's for God's divine purpose. Ooh. All that God has done, past, present, and future, is hard to understand to the natural thinking man. So now, I've got to I got to look at some other notes here that's in my Bible, and then we're going to venture a little bit. In 135, where we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, overshadow you, the conception of Jesus took place through the direct action of the Holy Spirit. Overshadowed is the same word used for the cloud from which the voice spoke at the transfiguration. Move to the transfiguration, Luke 9:34. It begins in Luke 9:27. We got it in the red there, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. And it goes on, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took John, Peter, and James, and he went up on the mountain to pray. And then it appeared in verse 33, Luke 9:33. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he had said. You know what a tabernacle, we always think when we hear a tabernacle, like a big building and all, it's a tent. Let us make three tents. Okay, back in the day, it's tents. And then 34. Now, while he was saying this, what happened? What appeared? A cloud came, and what did the cloud do? Overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. There's a cloud overshadowing as Jesus is transfigured. Now, we can go back to Exodus 13:21. And it was just kind of following through the overshadowing aspect. So it wasn't just the time in the New Testament when the Holy Spirit and God comes and overshadows Mary. There was an overshadowing being done throughout several things in the Bible. Then we look at Exodus 13:21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. It doesn't say overshadowed, but overshadow, remember, talks about like that of somewhere along the line of, let's see here, like a shadow, a shade. We can go on and look at that. But here's what I want to look at and get to dig this out of talking about that pillar and that cloud. As God was showing them through that of a cloud to follow. It was actually, he was saying, here I am, follow me. And at night, it was by that of a pillar of fire. Here am I, follow me. Now, we find out when you get into Acts, talking about the Holy Spirit coming, that there was like the sound of a mighty rushing wind and cloves of tongue and fire and all this. You know, so God shows himself in so many things, but it's like in through wind, through fire, through cloud. Now, the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire were the manifestations of God's guiding presence. Of course, we would have figured that because it's like led them by the way of that of the cloud. If we look at this back in Luke 1:35, it gives me a footnote here of both being used for references that the cloud manifested the glory of God. You're in Exodus. Just go to Exodus 40. So we go to Exodus 40. And I look at 34. Exodus chapter 40, 34. And then the cloud, are you there yet? And then the cloud covered the tabernacle of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel could go onward and in all of their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and a fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys. Footnote, God's glory filled the tabernacle. Without his glory and presence, the work was not finished and the tabernacle was useless. The central message of Exodus is this. It's reiterating that God is personally present in their midst. I tell you today, God is personally present in your midst. You believe that? Amen. I'm going through a problem. God is in your midst. I got situations that I don't know what to do. God is in your midst. I don't know which way to turn, left, right, to go, stop, whatever. God is in your midst. Is he overshadowing you? Let him overshadow you. Let his cloud, let his fire, whatever it is, be your guiding. And now, see, now let's get this a step further into this. Back then, the Spirit was still available and all the Holy Spirit, everything was still developing, but God used those areas, those elements to guide, to lead, to show, here am I. I may not have a cloud, I may not have a fire, but I got the Holy Spirit in me that's leading me and guiding me and taking me on this journey with God through my life. Do you believe that or not? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit into the things that you're going through today? I hope so, because if you don't, get the Holy Spirit. Let the overshadowing of God come upon you. And ask for the Holy Spirit to come in you, to lead you, to guide you, to fill you, to be in the cloud in you. Woo. Then, back in the day, you would always want to stay under that pillar, or you want to be wherever that the pillar of fire is there. I want to get, if the cloud is there in the daytime, I'm going in the today of 2023, I'm following those things, but it's internally because the Spirit is inside of me. The Holy Spirit is closer to me than I am to myself. Isn't that exciting? That God thought that I need to put something in my people that is so close that it's going to be closer than they are to their own self. I'm not bowing to you. I'm bowing to God. No, God, they're not my idols out here. Oh, you got to let that soak a little bit. No, I think you get so, you know, you're going to get... Here's two things. You're going to get wrapped up in one of two things. You're going to get wrapped up in the world and leave out God. Or I would rather get wrapped up in God and leave out the world. And God will take care of the world. And God will take care of your situation. I don't care what that situation is. Health, wealth, relation, providing, provisions, whatever the case is. Better jobs, better income, better bonuses, better this, whatever the case is. You can't outgive God. You can't outdo God. You can't do any better than what God has for you, because what God has for you is the best, because he sent his only begotten son to die for you. So would you not think that he wants to give you the best? So, Father, wow. So when you look at this, and you get kind of wrapped up when you start expanding and expounding upon words and things of that nature, but then when you look at it all combined and you bring it back to the one focus, it's that the Holy Spirit is vitally important for your life today. And to trust the Holy Spirit, to be led by him, because God put an investment in that of Mary for an advantage for something in the future, and that investment and advantage for the future then brings us that of the Holy Spirit when Jesus goes. I mean, what more do you need? What more? And it's easily just by asking, isn't it? Ask, ask, and ask. It's not hiding from you. It's not like you've got to go out. It's not like God telling you you've got to go search for him and try to figure out where he's at. God is ready to just put him in you. And I know many people go, well, I've prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I just don't feel. It's like if you've asked, you've got the Holy Spirit. God is not going to keep that. If you willingly, if you earnestly and say, Heavenly Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit and let the gifts begin to flow. Let the gifts come into me and what I need to be gifted in. We all have gifts and things that we work through that are the giftings of the Spirit. But that would be like saying, well, I tried to ask for salvation and I just don't think I got it. If he says, ask for salvation, he's going to give it to you if you say, forgive me of my sins. I confess Jesus as my Lord. He is the Son of God. You're going to have salvation. So when people say, I just don't think I got saved, that's the enemy telling them that you're not saved, when they are saved. But if the enemy can keep telling you a lie, and if you're willing to buy into the lie of Satan, Satan is going to stay on your shoulder, and he's going to keep whispering in your ear, and you're going to be to believe it and keep under and trusting that what he says is what it is, I guess. Satan's telling me the truth. No, Satan is the father of all lies. So when people say, I just don't think I got saved, no, you got saved. If you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, you got him. Believe it by faith. And we get into this whole thing. Everything I've just shared with you, you've got to receive it and take it by faith. But then when we ask for the Holy Spirit, we go, I don't know if you got it. You got it if you ask for it. You got it. Well, I know some churches say I got to speak in tongues. Well, that's the evidence of, but if you don't, just keep waiting and it may come upon you. But just because I don't, I guess some churches say, I guess I'm not filled. You are filled. You do have the Holy Spirit. Just allow him to begin to use you and to move in you to the point of you just respond accordingly. And a lot of that is we just hold on to our faculties because we don't understand something, so I don't want to sound like a crazy person babbling. But it's never going to be like, well, if you're not speaking in tongues, then you're not filled. No. No. If that's the case, then there's too many things that God is restricting from us that we have to jump through hoops and all to get the things of God, when God says it's as simple as ask and as simple as seek and trust and believe and have faith. Amen? So don't let man destroy what God has for you. Don't let man or your own thoughts sometimes take away or rob you of what you already have through that of God, through that of Christ, through that of the Holy Spirit. Be strong. When you begin to get those thoughts, you turn them over to who? God. And say, here they are, God. The old enemy is trying to make me feel or think that I am not valuable. The enemy's trying to tell me that I'm not saved. The enemy's trying to tell me I had such a bad life in the past that how could you forgive me? All these things the enemy wants to tell you that he will keep telling you as much as you will allow him to allow him to have access to you. See, we allow the access of the devil into our lives more than we should. All he has to do is find a gap in your door, and he will start whispering things through it. And pretty soon, most of us are nosy, right? I mean, when something happens outside, what do? I open the door and look right away. No, don't look. Look at the window first and see if you need to open the door. Sometimes we hear that whisper and we open the door and we allow more of his voice than that of the devil to come in and to cloud out and to detract out of what God is trying to tell us. Just keep the door shut to this world and keep your spirit open to that of the kingdom of God. Now, I know in God's word, he says, I knock and, you know, if you open it, I'll come in. That's coming into your heart. Yeah, I'm knocking. You got to open the door. Amen? So when he knocked, we had to open and allow him to come in. Jesus will not force himself into you. God is not going to make you receive Jesus. Jesus is not going to force you to get the Holy Spirit, or God is not going to force the Holy Spirit on you. It is freely out there. Remember, we talked about it like that of a gift. How many here, whenever you get a gift, you never open it? We always open it. And if not, you're missing a gift. My goodness. Just open up what God has given you. Thank you, Father. So, the work of the Holy Spirit. But now I go, John 16:5. But now I go away to him who sent me. Mm-hmm. That of God. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, verse 6 of 16, John 16:6, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. See, and that's where, as we get the Holy Spirit in us and as we begin to read more of God's word and the things of Jesus, there's things that we don't have clarity of, but eventually, because of the Holy Spirit leading us into truth and bringing back to remembrance of the things of Jesus and what Jesus said, things will begin to develop, I believe, in that area. It might mean something a little different as well, but anyway, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, let's see. Earlier, Jesus promised the apostles that the Spirit would remind them of his teachings in verse 14:26. Now he promises them that the Spirit will guide them into further truth, which they could not bear at the time. Both promises were fulfilled in the writing of the New Testament. The Holy Spirit also fulfills that work in granting believers today an understanding of that truth. So the Spirit's ministry is not only directed to believers and to the world, but also to Christ. What the Spirit teaches, he draws from and conveys in the authority of Christ and glorifies Christ in all that he does. True ministry in the Holy Spirit never serves a private agenda, rather working in us and through us. He never exalts himself, but he continually glorifies Christ, who glorifies the Father. So anyway, it's just that whole process. Remember, I think last week we were talking about, you know, the Spirit speaks what Jesus spoke, Jesus spoke what God spoke it to Jesus, God is speaking that to the Spirit. So it's all that, remember, that's when John had said that when I'm speaking and I'm hearing from God, I can't tell, now is that Jesus, is that God, or is that the Holy Spirit? You know, they're just, you're getting all this information and how it is coming to us. But it's to know that everything that is being done, it just moves up the chain that the Spirit is glorifying that of Jesus. Jesus is glorifying that of God. And it's just altering glory to the one. They're not in a contest of who can be better, who can do more. They're working harmoniously together. And it's because of God's divine plan, because he knows that this day and age and where we're at, we need the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit then is everywhere in all of the people that have invited him in, and he's closer to us than ourselves. Wow. So as we leave here today, have you been overshadowed by that of God? And if not, I'd encourage you to become more overshadowed, allow that cloud, whatever that is, to be above there, and to kind of maybe look at some of these words and what it's talking about. But I see so much in God and talk about investing in things and talking about that to where it's for a future benefit or advantages. And I am one of the benefactors, how about you, of that of Jesus Christ being born of Mary. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that it does come together in each and every one of our thoughts and hearts here that I've shared this message with, Lord. I hope I was able to explain it and bring it forth in a way, Lord. If not, I know by that of the Spirit, you can sort it out in each and every one of their spirits to bring to rememorization and remembering that of what was said and to clarify it maybe in a better way, Lord. But I just lay it all before you, and I thank you for the power of your word and how the message in the Bible is so powerful for today and how it stirs us up. And I thank you for it. Let me ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.